Welcome to America's Horse on America's Trail with the Mustang Discovery Ride. I'm your host, Julianne Neal. Over the next 12 months, we'll be following tip trainers Hannah Catalino and Lisanne Fear, along with Abilene, Bagheera, Chili, Cody, Finn and Rosette, and of course, Fira and Caillou, as they cross the American Discovery Trail on a quest to bring attention to the plight of America's Mustangs. With a goal of 5,000 miles, 5,000 Mustangs, the Mustang Discovery Ride team hopes to bring attention to adoption into appropriate homes for these living legends. We hope that you'll join Hannah and Lisanne on this journey of a lifetime by following the Mustang Discovery Ride podcast. Enjoy the ride! In this episode, we'll sit down for a conversation with Felipe Lete, long rider, author, journalist, and filmmaker.
Well, I have to ask also, we've talked even over the past couple of podcasts, we've talked a lot about family, and Hannah had the chance to see family over the holidays, and I've talked to Lisanne some about her family too. And so, Felipe, you had the opportunity, as you said earlier, your dad was such a huge influence on you early on. He joined up with you on part of your ride, and I think rode over 1,000 miles, so now he's a long rider too. So what was that?
Yeah.
What did that mean to you to have him along with you?
Oh, it was both easy and painful. to be able to live this this dream next to my old man, who ultimately, like, I inherited this dream from him, was just like unbelievable. Like, it's stuff for movies, you know. Like, who gets to share a can of beans in the middle of the Chihuahua desert with your old man, and you got one Mustang and two quarter horses in a makeshift corral while you're hoping no one kills you. It's 7 days to get to the first town, you know, like, it was unbelievable. Like, but at the same time, you know, like, I think that because we young men are very similar to our fathers, we have a complicated relationship with them, right? And I talk about in the documentary how it was so funny, like, we got into this tempestuous fight in the middle of, like, Northern Mexico, because I don't remember who said what, but like, one guy said that Palomino was a breed, the other guy was like, no, it's not a breed anywhere in the world, it's just a horse color. And like, we didn't talk all day, like, one guy way ahead, the other one way behind. So that was funny, just, you know, those kind of moments. You're not only living with your father, but you're suffering, you're pitching tents, you're, you know, riding to 1 a.m. looking for water. So it's a very intense experience. But yeah, I just feel so blessed to have him accompany me for 3 months. He's a long rider as well, which was a dream of his, to be a part of the Long Riders Guild. And he's very proud of it. And I think ultimately it brought us closer together, being out there and sharing that experience.
Oh, God, I'm sure it did. And you mentioned water. That was another thing that struck me when I was reading, or I saw your pilot from years and years ago, and you were talking about going through a drought. I mean, we've been talking with the girls about the weather that they've hit. Tell me about, I mean, water is so crucial every day. What was that like, driving you crazy? I wouldn't have been able to concentrate because of that.
So yeah,
talk a little bit about that situation.
Water is life. And when you go on a long ride, nothing is more evident. And also, nothing impacts you more than the weather. You're outdoors all day, especially when you don't have a support vehicle and you're by yourself. It's you, the horses, and the elements. If it's snowing, you're cold. If it's hot, you're dripping in sweat and your lips are all cut up. And if it's windy, you want to shoot someone, and when the wind stops, the bugs come out, and then you also want to shoot someone. And it was very hard to find water. People always like ask me, what did you do for feed? How did you feed them? And obviously I couldn't carry feed in that first ride because it was too heavy. You can't pack, you know, a bag of feed or a bale of hay. So we ate what we found. But even in the desert, although there wasn't a lot of grass, there was still something for the horses to eat. And sometimes that little grass we found in the desert was so strong and full of nutrients, it was enough to keep the horses healthy. And then, you know, if I saw them losing weight, I'd stop in a town for a week and feed them and find alfalfa. But water, you can't do anything about it. You can't carry it, and you need it every day. And horses drink so much water. And that's what, you know, was the hardest part of the trip. I now understand that global warming is real. I don't know what's influencing it, obviously, but there is a change in weather patterns all over the world. Every country I crossed, it was the worst drought in the last generation. It was the hottest summer in the past 100 years. I was riding by dry creeks, and that anxiety that you have, you know, all day thinking, am I going to find water for these animals as you trek, nearly drove me mad. And that's why my second and third long ride, I always had someone else with me. I had a support vehicle because it was going to drive me crazy. You know what I mean? I've met long riders that you look into their eyes and they weren't all there because, you know, it's the perfect recipe for, it's the perfect recipe. And they're trying again. Sorry. It's the perfect recipe for insanity. So I really, it's something I value a lot, is I think we need to take care of our bodies, our spirits, but also our mental health. And like I said, I'm so sorry.
No
problem. I'm so sorry. Some people are just very persistent. But yeah, water was a very big problem, was finding water. There were days where I'd tie up the horses with no water and just pray that that they wouldn't colic. Bernice Andy, the greatest long rider I've ever met, had the honor to meet. Unfortunately, she passed away last year. And I met her before my long ride for a day while she was riding around Canada, right before I went to Stan Walchuk's clinic. And she gave me an arsenal of tricks and knowledge that I learned from her. But one of the biggest things she taught me was to carry cooking oil in the pack saddle. And if you have no water, you fill a syringe with it and you dump it down the horse's throats and you hope that they don't call. Like, that helps, to lubricate their very, very long intestines. And that's what I would do. And then the next day, get up early and keep riding and try to find water again. But yeah, by far the hardest thing, what impacted me the most, what almost drove me crazy with anxiety, was trying to find water.
Mm. Well, I know Hannah and Lisanne, you guys met Bernice before she passed also, and she was instrumental in some of the things that y'all have talked about. Tell me a little bit more about meeting her and what that meant to you, Lisanne.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I don't know how it exactly happened. It was really incredible. One of her sponsors was Outfitter Supply, and we really wanted to get with Outfitter Supply. So I was living at Hannah's place at the time up there in Montana. So I just drove up farther north Montana, and I got to meet Russ Barnett, the owner of Outfitter Supply up there. And, you know, like, I'm kind of just like a blonde girl, and I walk in there and like Russ doesn't really take me serious about anything. But I end up sitting there and talking to him for 3 hours about like packing and guiding in the mountains of Wyoming. And he finally like started taking me a little bit more serious about life. And I told him how it was kind of like a dream of mine that meet Bernice, and Hannah had been trying to get a hold of her for like 5 or 6 months. And we had gotten like one email, one off time from her. So like, she was very hard to pin down. And after I finally broke those walls with Russ, a little bit of trust and like respect, he was like, well, I'll try to get a hold of her for you. And he tried 3 different numbers that he had for her. And one like went to a publisher, one went to like her accountant. And I think like the third line was like disconnected. So he was like, I'm so sorry, but I really like tried to get a hold of her for you. And I was like, oh, that's okay. And so I end up leaving, and I get 20 minutes back down the road headed south. And he calls me and he's like, you'll never guess who I'm sitting across from right now. And I was like, no way. And Bernice had just stopped by just like half an hour after I had left. And he was like, she'll be at the fairgrounds at 5 o'clock. And I was like, all right, I will be at the fairgrounds at 5 o'clock. And it was just so, so incredible, like how the universe works in that way. And to be able to sit there, because I just sat with her in the grass. She had like made herself a camp. She had her truck and trailer at the time because she was moving down south to live with her sister. And she was like, I'm not used to having all of this. And she points at her trailer and she just has like a tarp tied to it across to like make a little bit more of a shelter. But, you know, she was having a lot of health problems at the time, but she just sat with so much grace and poise in the grass that like, it was just so incredible to see like just how remarkable she was. And she gave us a lot of advice on several different things as well. One of the biggest things was like being like team cohesion, as far as like your horses together, like they have to move as a unit when you need them to move. And that one really stuck with us. And I'm also running Boreum on my shoes too, like she had suggested in different things. And so, yeah, I mean, it was really incredible to sit across from her. And then I got to meet, again, it's just so crazy how it all happened, but I got to meet her little Fjords. She had Essie Pearl there in Montana Spirit. And it was so cool to sit there and meet them. But she literally just hopped up on a bareback, and she's going through all these health things, and she's so tiny and like frail and fragile. And she just hopped up there like she had done, you know, thousands of times before, and literally rode off into the sunset. Like I have like this nice photo of like her sitting astride and like the sun setting in the background. But I mean, yeah, I mean, she is a legend for sure. And in my interaction and encounter with her is definitely like legendary for sure. So very, very fortunate to have had the chance to meet her before she passed.
Well, it sounds to me like having those people who inspire you and having mentors and everything is an incredible part of being a long rider, is what it sounds like to me. And so, Felipe, since you've been through all of this, I'm going to challenge Hannah and Lisanne. What would you ask him that he could give you as a piece of advice? The whole thing with the vegetable oil, I never even thought about that. That's an incredible thing that you could do. But what's something else that you could ask Felipe? As a little piece, a little tidbit piece of advice for the trip.
I don't know. A burning question I've had is, when we first started out, we had no goal or like no plan of having three animals. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, the only one I know that had three animals is like, and he was like crazy. Cause I'm like with just one pony animal, and I'm like, you know, initially it was kind of a struggle to be like, you know, trying to get your horse to go forward, but then also worry about your pony animal. And then somehow we have three animals and we're doing it. Yeah. Each. And it's working out fine, but I'm just kind of curious as like how, you know, your learning curve was with that. And like, for me, it depends on the animal, like which one. Sometimes I have both my pony animals in one hand and my ridden animal in another hand, or, you know, other animals sometimes do better when I have the pony animal and a ridden horse in the one hand, and then I just have, you know, one of the pony animals in a free hand. And I was just curious, like, I'm a liberty trainer, so I use a lot of like no ropes. So now having to learn how to manage and juggle all these ropes, I'm just curious if you had any tips or tricks or what you ended up doing.
It's a mess, right? Because it's like, it's like taking children, right? They want to do what they're not supposed to all the time, right? One wants to stop to eat, the other one wants to kick it, the other one wants to run forward. And it's very hard. Have you watched Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell? I don't know if you've seen that movie. But it's funny, and he does this thing where he's like, when he's interviewed, he doesn't know what to do with his hands. So he always just like, he's getting interviewed by like ESPN or whatnot, and he just starts to like raise his hand in the middle of the interview. And it's like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. And literally that's how I feel when I ride horses now. And all I got to do is hold the reins. I'm like, what do I do with my hand? Like, what does this hand do? Like, cause usually you're like, you know, controlling one horse, the other one's over here. Now the lead's under the tail. And for me, the safest way, although it was super annoying and at first it's hard to get used to, was to hold the leads. Because one time I almost got in a terrible wreck when one horse almost went over the edge of a trail. And now it was going to take me as well, because he was tied to the tail. So after that, I was like, never tying anyone to anybody ever again. If I lose one animal, at least I lose one animal, not three or two. So I always just took one lead rope in one hand, the other lead rope with the reins in the left hand. But it was a constant just stop. What are you doing? No, we're not going to eat right now. No, you're not going to drop forward. And yeah, you just get used to it eventually. But yeah, it's a learning curve.
Yeah, definitely. What were you mostly using to like navigate on the road? So like I have my phone and I like download maps all the time, but.
Yeah, exactly. Use maps. It was a mixture of like the phone. I never had, as you know, we never have signal as soon as you get out of a town, right? Like, yeah. So you're like, oh, what good is this phone now? Throw it out. So I would download maps as well when I remembered, but I'd have real maps of the regions I was going through. I always tried to buy a different kind of maps. And the people, you know, as you, I'm sure you found out, the people along the way, you know, a lot of elderly folks drawing maps on the dirt. And when you see the old cow in the pasture on your right, you turn left, you get there, there's like 100 cows. It's like, oh, perfect. But that was a lot of that, you know what I mean? A lot of just the local people leading me, because no one knows the region you're traveling to. I'm sure you found out the people that live there, right? And it's super hard to know the best grazing spots and where there's going to be water for horses when you're looking at a map. Even, you know, I did a lot of Google map looking in through the satellite and stuff. But yeah, the local people would ultimately divert me and send me down the best routes.
Ooh. Yeah, I think another question that Hannah and I both kind of had is very briefly in Mexico, it sounded like you were traveling with a donkey. What was...
Yes, General Cuencame.
Yeah. Well, what was that like, traveling with a donkey? Because we've been traveling with one for a little bit now, too.
Amazing. It's like having a dog. Like, they're just so funny. You know, he was the comic relief of the group. He was super strong. We got him because when my dad came, we were now utilizing all the animals, right? All the animals had weight on their backs, as I'm sure you found out. You know, it's not easy to have something on top of their backs for 8-10 hours a day. You need to have the right saddle pads. You need to have everything weighed properly. And even still, you're going to get chafing. You're going to get, you know, hair being rubbed. And that's what slows us down more than anything, because it's, you know, 3 seconds for a saddle sore to emerge, and it's a month or more for it to go away. So we were having that with, you know, dude and Frenchie. There was some chafing in the back from the pack saddle. And so we're like, okay, we need another animal to do the rotation that I was able to do when it was myself and the three horses. And yeah, he was just, he was going to go to slaughter this little donkey, and we bought him. He carried the pack for us, and he was just so strong. And he hated the horses, and the horses hated him. Dude wanted to kill him at any opportunity possible. But he just, like, every time we came with alfalfa in the morning to feed them when we had it, he would just be yelling, you know, wagging his tail. And, you know, we just, like, pet him like a dog. It was an amazing experience to have him out. We loved having little General Cuencame out there with us.
That's awesome. Did you also have
How's it been for you girls with yours?
Oh, yeah. He's really lovely. Like, he kind of the same thing. Like, he's kind of scared of the horses, but it's perfect because I ride – so I have a mare with me, and she hates the boys touching her. So, like, the donkey doesn't touch her. So, like, that team, part of the team goes well. But then, like, if the burro ever gets fast, she's like, how dare you pass me? And so it is, like, squabbling siblings, like, all day. But, I mean, I feel like, you know, we're a few, like, several hundred miles into our journey, and things are finally, you know, they're starting to figure each other out. I mean, the problem I'm mostly having with him is that he is a lot slower than the horses, and, you know, that does pull on my horses a little bit, and that's where, you know, we're considering leaving him behind for a little bit just to make up some miles. But it is so hard because they do bring so much personality, and he's such a great ambassador because there are 15,000 burros that need homes as well. You know, we're riding for the Mustangs, but in that category that goes unsaid is the burros, and they are such wonderful animals. So, you know, it'll be really hard to have him, you know, be on the sideline for a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I really enjoy having him, and they're such lovely little creatures. So I've been in the Mustangs 10 years and only the burros for 3, but I'm like, where have they been my whole life?
Yeah, for sure. They have a huge personality. I love them.
Yeah, just so cuddly and lovely.
Hey, I'm Rhonda Gregorio. I'm one of the many photographers and videographers with the Mustang Discovery Ride. I'm enjoying some amazing BLK water this morning. It's my first time trying it, and it is absolutely delicious. You should get some.
And I echo that. I'm Diana DeRosa. I'm also here doing photography and videography and trying BLK for the first time. And I love it. It's got all different flavors, and it's good for you and organic, right up my alley.
Get yours today.
Balance, love, kindness, black water, clear benefits.
Well, Felipe, as you crossed through on your trip, you went through different countries. And so to me, it's a little bit like the girls going through all these different states. And they're only through the third state now, about to cross into the fourth one. So, you know, the halfway mark is not so far away. Is there any advice you can give them as far as when you started reaching that halfway point? Was there ever any thought in your mind, first of all, of turning back? And if so, what advice would you give the girls about that or about anything else that you came across?
Turning back from day one, like the day I left the Calgary Stampede, I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is insanity. I'm going to die. Like, I can't even get out of this city. How the hell am I going to get to Mexico alive? So yeah, but you can't, because the horses are the glue, and you can't leave your horses up and leave them on the side of the road or in the middle of Guatemala. So yeah, I thought about quitting every day, to be honest with you, but I couldn't quit because I'm a cowboy, and because the horses were always the glue that kept her, you know, you just kept keep going. You got to get them home. But to me, what I would say to them, that it was a huge learning curve for me during my first journey. And I wish someone had told me, and maybe they did, but I didn't listen to them because I was young and stupid. It's to enjoy every second of it. You know, I always had this anxiety in me to get to the next country, to get to the next state, because those imaginary lines give you a lot of power, right? Like, oh, okay, you're one state closer, you're one country closer, you're, you know, now, okay, after 1 year, I was in southern Mexico, I still had a year left, but okay, I'm in southern Mexico. Like, you look at the map, you're like, look how much I've traveled. So those moments, they give you a great deal of power to continue. But at the same time, you can't just have that in your mind all the time, because it doesn't allow you to enjoy, like I said, the moment where one of your horses may be injured and you're at this small little village for a month that no one else is going to get to spend time at. And all of a sudden you're adopted by this amazing family, and you know, you're hugging the kids and you're learning about how they play their traditional game of, you know, putting a little tiny lance through a ring on horseback. And those were the really special moments for me and the people I met. And it always happened when I wasn't expecting it, and when I was laid over, and when I was kind of angry because I wanted to get to the next state, because I wanted to get to that next imaginary line, that next check on the long list of goals. So that's it. Just enjoy it. You know, it's going to go by super quick. Although right now it may not seem like it, it's going to go by super quick. And when you step down from that saddle in the years to come, you're always going to remember this ride and this moment and wish that, you know, you were there again with your Mustangs, and that's all you worried about was saddle sores and rain and weather. And now you got to worry about bills and the price of oil and everything else. So yeah, just really enjoy it. Take it in, you know, every second, realize how lucky you are to be with these animals. And very few people get to do this and see the world at 3-4 kilometers an hour. It's such a special way to see the world. And again, very few people get that opportunity. So make sure you enjoy every second.
Yeah. I think one of our questions was, I mean, we definitely don't know really what we're doing after this long ride, and like hearing what you went through, like that sounds really rough. But you went ahead and did a few more long rides. Do you have anything else in the works? I mean, you only ended your last one like a year or so ago.
Yeah. No, I think that I never say never, but for right now, I wouldn't do another long ride. You know, like, I'm not a cat. I don't know how many lives I have, but I definitely use most of them. Like, this isn't a video game. Like, I can't just hop up and get another life. Like, at some point, you know, it's going to end. And like, my family, you know, my mom, like, the wear and tear I've had emotionally on her, like, I would be in Mexico for days with no contact while she's reading news headlines of people getting decapitated by the Zetas, you know, like, so it's been really hard on my entire family and on myself, like I said, mentally as well. So as of right now, I want to focus on my journalism. I'm getting the documentary out. We're going to premiere it February 25th in South Carolina, the Beaufort International Film Festival. And then this entire year, it's about pushing that and getting that documentary out. I've been working on it for freaking almost 12 years now. So it's like, I can't wait to, you know, just see what people are going to say, whether they throw tomatoes at me or they love it. I'm just excited to get it out. And then I'd like to, I'm working on a new reality series where I want to show culture through the horse all over the world. So, you know, go to different countries and show the culture of the people through these equestrian events and these sports that we enjoy on horseback.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Same.
It really does. Well, I can't wait to see the film. I'm in South Carolina, so I think I'm going to go to Beaufort in February.
Oh, you have to go. You have to go. February 25th. Yes.
I must. And actually, I mean, Hannah and Lisanne, you guys are already kind of doing some of those promotional things with Hannah, your clinics, and Lisanne was just at the Mustang Magic event down in Texas. And so it's y'all are all doing amazing things for the horses. So it's pretty special. So is there anything
Let me ask you this. I would like to ask you girls, from the time you spend in the saddle, like, do you think this is something you'd like to do more of? Would you like to go on another long ride, or do you think it'll just be this one?
I don't know. It changes by day. I mean, like, some days I'm like, oh my gosh, it'd be so much easier to just backpack. Like, you don't have to worry about all these animals. Then I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't leave my horses behind. Like, I don't know. And then, like, sometimes I get this idea of like, oh, it'd be fun to go and do a long ride in New Zealand and do one in Australia and do one in Europe. But then reality is, like you said, like, family, you know, time doesn't stop with them. And, you know, I do miss, you know, my family at home and things like that. And I don't know. So who knows, you know, like I said, it changes by day. Some days I'm like, oh man, I'm really going to miss this lifestyle. Like, I really do want to enjoy every moment of it. And I don't know if I could stop. And then other times I'm like, I don't know, you know, so it changes.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, I grew up on a 55,000 acre cattle ranch in Wyoming, and like, you know, my family's heritage builds upon the back of a horse. And so, unfortunately, my family lost that ranch with fluctuating interest rates in the 80s. And so I feel like part of me has always been trying to get back to that livelihood of being in the saddle every day. And I just didn't realize it was going to be like riding across America. So I feel like, I don't know if I'll do another long ride like that, but I've also, like Hannah, like, I've talked about doing, they call it the Triple Crown, essentially, where you would do like the Pacific Crest Trail and the Continental Divide Trail, and then I'd have to hike the ADT. But I thought about doing that, or maybe I just want to go up in the mountains and guide pack trips and hunting deals and just still be on the back of a horse every day. But yeah, I mean, I owe my life to these horses, and I don't want that to change. So
yeah. Let me ask you another question that's was hard for me. Like, I rode most of it alone, so at some points people would come with me, and although it was nice, at some points it was hard having someone else out there because there's so much going on already. And then you get two people with, you know, strong opinions, and it's like, no, let's go this way, let's go that way, let's keep riding, let's stop here. That's safe. That is not. So did you know each other prior to this? Were you friends? And what's it been like to share this with each other? Has it been hard? Has it been easy?
Yeah. So we've known each other for 8 years now. I have to update now that we've been on this for a while. So we've known each other for a while. I actually was fortunate enough to be Hannah's guinea pig and her first student. So I went and interned under her for a couple months and lived with her then. And it's kind of like where the seed was planted a little bit, but not watered until later. And then, after that deal, we found this mule, and I've wanted a mule staying for a really long time. And Hannah really wanted a mule to train at Liberty. So we decided to co-own her. And then from there, like, we really kind of set up like a partnership and like planned this long ride. And so I moved and I lived with Hannah up in Montana for, I think, like six-ish months this summer before we went. So like, we did get to know each other like really closely. I mean, I lived at her place for almost 8 months. Accumulative by that time before departing for this ride, and a lot of times they're pretty much on the same wavelength, and then like there definitely have been times where we're like not agreeing on a few things, but
for the most part it balances out. Like, Lisanne will do things that are crazy and I'm like, I don't think I should do that, and then here I'm doing it. But then there's times I'm like, okay, really do that, and Lisanne listens, so that's good. So she pushes me, and I help rein her back.
You got the yin and the yang. The yin and the yang going. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So it works.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. That was one thing funny about Bernice. Like, you could just tell, like, she had her way. And, like, she was like, no one should do it any differently than, like, my way.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God. Very, very strict about it. But then, like, we told her, like, I told her our idea, and she was like, that's not a real long ride. Like, you have support. Like, that's not, that's nothing. And I was like, all right. But I mean, we ended up, like, I was telling her, like, we were going to go through Washington, D.C., like, our nation's capital. And she was like, oh, yeah, I would never do that. I was like, okay. She's like, what you're doing makes sense for you. And I was like, okay, thanks. Yeah.
She was very intense. When I met her, like, I nearly, like, questioned not going anywhere. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't think I should do this anymore. Like, she had that kind of, she was a very opinionated and very strong character, right? And, like, yeah, like, it was an intense 24 hours with Bernice. That made me question my entire life and whether I wanted to actually go through with this insane plan. But turns out my boss was leaving for Stan Walchuk's clinic, so I had no other option. And then Stan was more like the complete opposite. Like, he was very mellow and, like, he used to be a school teacher. And, like, yeah, man, like, if you want to do that, that's awesome. That's your way, you know, and there's no right way. And I'm like, oh, thank God. So it was a good mixture, you know, like, I got the intensity from her and then, like, the more mellow side of Stan, but learned so much from her. But I can totally relate. I'm sure we should talk one time about our experiences, because I think we would have a lot of things in common.
Yeah. I think we'll have to have episode 2 where y'all just chat. maybe in a couple of months, we'll see how things are looking.
When I come out to ride, we'll do another one.
There you go. Perfect. That'd be great. Well, thank you for talking to us today. And thanks, girls, too. I know it's hard for you guys to get to a place where everybody's got power and service and all that kind of stuff, too. But it's been fun for me to hear both sides of how a long ride could be. So, Felipe, if people wanted to follow along with you, read the book, see the film at some point, I'm guessing you're doing the festival circuit first. And then will it be available to the public?
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to do the festivals first, and then in Canada, it's going to come out on Super Channel and Amazon Prime in the fall. And then once we've done the festival tour, we'll sell the global rights, and I'll announce that when it comes out, where people will be able to watch it. And if I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but if it's before February 25th, any chance?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So if you're in South Carolina, it would mean the world to me to get people out for that first viewing, the world premiere. Like I said, I've been working on this film for 12 years. Sometimes it feels like, you know, a century. It'd mean the world to get horsey people out to watch it. And the books are out, Long Ride Home, Long Ride Stand the World. You can pick them up on Amazon. Yeah. And I'm writing the third one now, Last Long Ride. We'll have it out for July. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Congratulations on the project, The Long Ride. I've been following you ladies from afar, like I said, over Facebook, when Karen sends us that message, anything you need, don't hesitate to ask. I only finished my ride because of the amazing, generous, kind individuals who helped me. So I know we do nothing alone. So feel free to reach out, and hopefully we'll come out and ride with you soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. It's such an honor to get to meet the legend that you already are. we're really excited to end up riding with you later this year.
It'll be fun. Let's make it happen. And good luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you.